We've been, as a church, we've been doing this term. We've been doing a series in the Gospel of Mark, and the sermon series have been entitled "Read, Mark, Learn." And if you were here when David introduced the sermon series, you will be familiar with the fact that David sort of completed that from, I believe it's an Anglican creed or something. But David completed it and said, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. And I thought that was really, really good. So I just have a few questions for you as I begin. And the first question is, so what have you inward, if you've been coming for the last few Sundays, what have you inwardly digested about the Gospel of Mark? What has captured your attention, or what has struck you about the Jesus Mark documents to us, or his disciples and the people that we encounter in the stories? For me, have been struck by the slowness of learning by the disciples, the crowds that followed him, and the statements and questions of Jesus. If you were here last Sunday, Jeanette introduced us to some of the questions, and Jesus asked a lot of questions. And today, one question that does not seem to make sense crops up in the reading that we're going to read this morning. And I've asked Carol to read the passage for us, and the passage is from Mark 6, verses 30 to 45.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so they may go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take almost a year's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five, and do two fish. Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Thank you, Carol. So I wonder whether you spotted the question in the passage we've just had read to us. But the question that I was struck by is in verse 38, when Jesus asked the disciples, how many loaves do you have? This is one of those questions that, you know, we've got the benefit of knowing the full story. But the disciples, when faced with that question, didn't have the benefit of knowing what Jesus was going to do. But we've got the full story, so we can actually almost see the end of where that is going. But imagine you being a disciple and saying to Jesus, we've got so many people here, send them away. And then he comes up with this question and says, how many loaves do you have? what was going there, I mean, what was going on, they must have been thinking, how can this be? Or how on earth can we even begin to get anywhere near enough to feed all these people? But before we get into the story, I just wanted us to do a little journey of where the disciples are with Jesus at this particular time. If we look back at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, if we look at chapter 1, Jesus meets the disciples. They're not called disciples, they're fishers of men. They're fishermen, not fishers of men. They're fishermen. And Jesus calls them to come to him. And so in verse 17, Jesus says to them, come and follow me, and I will teach you how to fish men. And that was the start of their journey with Jesus. They follow Jesus, and their lives are to change forever into ones I'm sure they would not have pictured or predicted when he asked them to follow him. So Jesus takes these men, and he surrounds. They're surrounded by Jesus' teaching, and he teaches them about the kingdom of God. He performs miracles, and as we saw last week, they're witnesses to the fact that Jesus raises the dead girl from a young girl from the dead. And as Jesus is a good teacher, he begins to send them. So he sends them two by two to go and do the things that they've learned from him. And they go and they teach about the kingdom and they come back. So we pick up the story when they actually come back. They've been on what we would call a ministry trip. And they've come back and they're reporting to Jesus about all the things that they have seen and heard. They had gone and driven out demons and preached the kingdom. So they were excited. But he says to them, recognizing that they needed a break, come with me by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. But everywhere that Jesus went, there were crowds following him. And so this was no different. And the crowd followed. And when they got there, they were interrupted. And so their rest was interrupted, and they were not able to rest. And this is really interesting, because the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the two stories that is recorded in the four Gospels. One is the resurrection, and the second is the feeding of the 5,000. But I find it interesting that in all the four Gospels, it's only Mark who tells us why Jesus, what happened when Jesus looked at the crowd. He said, Mark tells us that Jesus was filled with compassion. And I was wondering whether Mark was able to report this because he reports what he gives us from the report of Peter. And Peter must have felt the compassion of Jesus. And so Mark makes the point to tell us, because Peter had experienced the compassion that came from Jesus because he had messed up. He denied Jesus three times, but Jesus brought him and lifted him up. And whether that is why Mark actually chooses to tell us. But Mark reports here that Jesus looked at the crowd and he felt compassionate towards them. And he also tells us why, because he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he begins to teach them, and he teaches them a lot of things, but Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus was actually teaching the people, but he tells us that Jesus was compassionate. And if we go back to Mark 6, we see that the crowd were definitely in a confused state. Jesus recognizes that they were like sheep without a shepherd. But actually, Mark also tells us in Mark 14 to 16, that the people that followed Jesus were asking a lot of questions. Some of them were asking who Jesus was. Some were saying he was Elijah, some were saying John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, and some were saying he was a prophet. So the crowd was made up of a lot of people that were asking questions. And Mark tells us that. So Jesus demonstrates something here for us and for the crowd. And he demonstrates that he is a good shepherd and reminds them of God's promise that when the true shepherd came, the wilderness would become rich pasture where sheep would be gathered and feed. Jesus is the good shepherd who provides for all our needs so that we lack nothing. And in this moment, as he teaches the crowd and as he feeds them, he's fulfilling the prophecy, but he's also having a conversation. He's also teaching his disciples something different. He's also saying to them that I'm not only good to feed the spiritual, but also the physical need. And so Jesus continues teaching and is obviously moved by the crowds. And it gets late. We've read in the story that it gets late and the disciples are being practical. They go to Jesus and they say to him, "It's getting late. Can you send these people away?" But they could not have guessed what Jesus would say or what he would do next. Jesus comes up with a command that, humanly speaking, makes no sense at all. The crowd, we know, we've been told, is over 5,000, because actually the 5,000 is only the numbers of men. The rest of the women or the children are not counted. So when Jesus says to them, "Give them something to eat," what would the disciples be thinking? They must be thinking, "Does this make sense?" And their response, I sympathize with them. I don't know about you, but I sympathize with them because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I would have said the same thing. And they say, "Are we to go and spend a year's wage to feed them?" They ask. But Jesus doesn't respond to that question. In fact, he asks them another question. He says, "How many loaves do you have?" And they say, 2 fish and 5 loaves. In the passage, it's basically they're saying to him, "Look at us, we only manage to pack a packed lunch for ourselves. How can you even ask us to count what we've got? It's a packed lunch." But Jesus takes that and tells them to go and bring what they had. And Jesus takes the 2 fish and the 5 loaves and prays over the food. But what for me stands out from this passage is that firstly, Jesus puts the onus on the disciples to bring forward what they had. And secondly, Jesus multiplies what they brought to him. And in thinking about this passage, I've really been struck by the fact that Jesus doesn't then use he doesn't perform a miracle and say, "Okay, we've only got 2 fish and 5 loaves, therefore I'm going to pray and ask the Father to send meat." He doesn't do that. He actually takes what they bring and he looks up to heaven and he feeds the 5,000. So for us this morning, I wonder what your response to the passage is. I wonder whether you relate with me to the disciples and their response as you look around. So today, in the prayers that were beautifully said this morning by the family, the Brook family, the world around us is full of stuff that we can't even comprehend. You know, I was talking to a friend who's just come from Nigeria, and she's telling me about Ebola and the breakout of that. You look at what's happening in Syria. You look at what the structures have fallen. You look at everything around, and you're like the disciples. You're probably overwhelmed by it all. I feel overwhelmed as I look around. But actually, Jesus makes the point. He asked the disciples to go and bring what they had to him, and it was him who multiplied it. So there's a lesson here for us as we look around the world and we're filled with compassion. But what is our response going to be? Or do you relate to the members in the crowd who followed Jesus, but actually were not clear for themselves who Jesus was? Is Jesus a prophet to you? Is Jesus Elijah? Is Jesus some other thing that you think, but you haven't actually understood for yourself that Jesus is the good shepherd, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God who came to save the world? Are you asking those questions? In either situations today, the challenge for us is to answer the question. And the question we started with is, Jesus asks his disciples, "What do you have?" And the disciples' response was, "We have 2 fish and 5 loaves." Do you have a question about who Jesus is? And actually, you've been coming and you've been hanging around Christians, but you actually haven't got clarity for yourself. And you can't really say for yourself that Jesus is the good shepherd. And did you look around and feel overwhelmed as the disciples did because the crowds were just so many and what they had looked impossible to feed the 5,000? As you look around our world today, do you feel overwhelmed? We sang earlier that your love is higher than the mountains that I face, that all we need is in you. Can we honestly say that as we look around the world, or do we feel very overwhelmed? And to this sermon today, there is a response to us as individuals at an individual level. And I'm going to share a little bit of my own story, but I've also asked Rachel to share a story of how do you answer to the question, what do you have? Because the disciples could have gone and discounted the fact that they had only two fish and five loaves. They would have come to Jesus and said, actually, we don't have anything. In comparison to the crowds that they had, it would have been fair for them to assume that two fish and five loaves would be nothing compared to the crowds. But actually, the disciples brought what they found, and what they had, they brought to Jesus. And it was Jesus who took whatever it was, that then he multiplied. And Jesus is calling us as individuals. I don't know, this morning we've been asked, you know, God is asking us. We said God has come to make home in our hearts. But God is also asking us, what is it that he's given us? What is it that he's calling us to do? What is it that we have? It might seem very insignificant, but actually the lesson for us this morning is that if we take that and bring it to Jesus, it is him who takes it and multiplies it. So I'm going to invite Rachel to come. And I was thinking this morning about, how do people start these big things that seem to be so big? And I thought of Rachel. Rachel, you've been involved in the homeless missional community for some time now, and you're going to use this. And how did you get to where you are? Because what I was saying to Rachel this morning is, I'm sure when Rachel started, she didn't understand that it would get to here. So just...
Okay, so when I started getting involved with the Homeless Outreach Missional Community, it was about a year and a half ago, I think, and it was amazing sort of what was going on. We were involved in the night shelter, and we had a team of volunteers that used to cook for that, but we really felt that there could be something more long-term. That was a couple of months a year, and we wanted to continue to build those relationships year round. So we were just asking ourselves, what could we do next that would enable us to build on those relationships and fulfill the needs all the year round?
And did you have like a list of volunteers beforehand?
We had some volunteers. We had the people that were helping with the shelter, but with the night shelter, you usually get around sort of 15 people. Between 10 and 15 people, so they were providing meals for that many people. And we didn't know sort of what the intake would be if we start, what we were thinking of doing was starting a Sunday lunch. And we didn't know sort of if it's an open door policy, what the numbers would be, and if we'd have sort of enough people to do that, or whether the numbers would be smaller and we might have been fine.
So you worked that through, but as far as you were concerned, you saw the need and you brought that need to Jesus. And you've now got every Sunday, and you're serving food to the homeless. Mm-hmm. And how has the Lord surprised you in the way that you've been working with the feeding the?
So it grew very quickly. I think the first week we let people know about it, and I think we had about six people. And within about 4 weeks, I think we're at about 25. And it grew very, very, very quickly. And so a lot of prayer was involved. We had times sort of last in the winter that's just gone where we were having 35 people and we needed two people to cook each week. And we were thinking, if it gets much bigger, how are we going to provide? But every week, God's just, even if it's been the day before and I'm like, oh, I've got no one to cook, somebody has given me an email or given me a call when we've just prayed about it. So God is just providing, and he's just touched people's hearts and it's because of very generous people bringing what they have. But for the last year and a half, every Sunday there's been a meal provided, and I don't think anyone's ever gone without.
Yes. Thank you. So, I think that is what we can learn from the story of feeding the 5,000. That's an amazing story. It's a story of faith. It's a story that God has taken and used. But I'm going to also share a story from my personal experience. And it's not as amazing as Rachel's. But a few months ago, I was asked to go to Pentonville prison. I've never been to prison ever in my life. So I didn't know what to expect, but Nikki Mufflet had asked me to go and lead prayers. And I was very, very conscious that I was doing prayers in an environment that was not church, and I didn't know what to expect. So I sort of worked through how I was going to pray and how the prayers were going to be led. And I had no clue how I would feel or what the atmosphere would be. But one thing I knew I had was that I was able to go and pray. So I said yes to Nikki. And we go to Pentonville prison. And as we walked in, and Anne is here, so Anne is very familiar with the prison ministry. But as we walked in, I was just overtaken by fear. I felt that the environment was so oppressing, and I was apprehensive, and I got all worked up, and I didn't even know whether I could articulate my prayers. And as the men started coming in, I just felt like I was not able to do this. And in that moment, I said, Lord, I've said yes to this. Can you help me, please? And as the worship began, I just felt that God had answered my prayer. And as I was called to go and pray to the front, even the prayer that I had written was not the prayer that I actually used, because God then came in and showed me that it was Him who was doing it. And I was able to pray in a way that I felt for myself that within the atmosphere there was a shift, and I knew that God had come through for me. But what did I have in my hand? I had a prayer and the willingness to go. And it was God, as I gave it to God, God took it and multiplied it. So that is what God is calling us to as individuals. God is not calling us to bring something that we don't have. So He didn't say to the disciples, oh, you've only got 2 fish and 5 loaves. I'm going to make meat. I'm going to bring something. He used what the disciples brought. And so this morning, have you heard the question, what do you have? And to each of us, we have something that we can bring to the Lord. What we need to do is to hear that question and bring it to Him. And it is Him who multiplies. It is Him who would then... And actually, if you look at the disciples and you look at the story, they had seen so many things. They had been witnesses to so many miracles. They had even gone out and preached in the name of Jesus. They had been around Jesus. But when it came to this particular issue, they looked at the issue, they looked at the problem, and they were then thinking, it can't be done. Are you one of Jesus' disciples who's actually walked with Jesus? You have seen Jesus perform so many things in your life, but actually you are faced with something today. You look around the world and you think, this cannot be done. Jesus cannot deal with this. But Jesus is faithful. Jesus is a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He comes alongside us, and whatever we bring to Him, He multiplies. That is at a personal level. What about as a church, as a family of Jesus? What do we have? We have a good story as a church. We've done great things. One of the saddest things that I have as an individual is to say goodbye to St. Barnabas. It's been a good journey. It's been amazing. I've learned so much. I've met so many people. I've seen God at work. God has been gracious. God has worked. We've even produced our own CD. It's just been a good journey. And God has shown us so many things as a church. But actually, God is doing something new. And God has spoken to the leadership and said, this building is no longer adequate. We're going to go to the high road. And the journey to the high road feels overwhelming. Don't you feel overwhelmed? It feels overwhelming, the practicalities that have to be put in place, the things that have to be done. Some people love this building. To let go will be so difficult, but God has spoken. What are we going to do? Are we going to come as a church and believe that the God who has shown us all these things is able to do greater things? Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to bring what we have? And that is our desire and our faith and our belief that God has spoken? Or are we going to be overwhelmed by what the experts are telling us? What is our response going to be as a church? And when I say as a church, I mean as individuals, as the body of Christ. It's not just Colin and Henry, it's the church. How are we going to respond? Are we going to stand back? Or are we going to get involved? And God is going to ask us to do things that He's never asked us to do before. Are we going to trust Him and give it to Him and say, here, this is what we have. Take it and multiply it. It's a big move. But then we serve a big God. And I have been encouraged. I read one of the commentaries that I read was saying that while the disciples focused on the problem, our Lord taught them to look up to heaven. We can choose to look at the problems around us as a church and as individuals. Or we can learn from the disciples and say, what do we have? And we can bring what we have to Him. And it is Him who is going to multiply. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? What do you have in your hands at an individual level and as a church level? Are we going to trust? Are we going to be overwhelmed by the problems around us? Or are we going to look to Him, who's the good shepherd, the bread of life, the one who's able to meet our physical and our spiritual needs? We have a choice to make. The disciples had a choice to make. They brought what they had to Jesus. They had done the calculations, and they had worked out that it would take a year's salary. Are there things in our lives where we're doing calculations for ourselves and actually working out and thinking, this is not something that I can bring to God? But they did. They brought what they had to Jesus. And actually, we need to respond. And the response is, can you even connect with God asking you the question, what is it that you have? And are you willing to respond and say, this is what I bring? It looks insignificant. It looks like there's nothing you can do with this, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to trust you. And as a church, may I encourage you, I won't be here, but we will pray for you. Are you going to run with the Lord? Are you going to look back at what He has done in the past and trust that He will do what He has promised? He's not man. When He speaks, He acts. And when He promises, He fulfills. Can I ask Joshua and the band to come back? So, what do you have? What do you have to bring this morning to Jesus? So that the crowds, and the crowds will mean anything. It depends on each individual. That the crowds around us can be fed. So, as we worship, I would just like us to stand, please, if you can, if you're able. And just respond. Firstly, do you hear the question from Jesus? What do you have? And are you able to recognize what the two fish and the five loaves are in your life that you can bring to Jesus? And do you have the faith to believe that God is not human, that He should lie, not a human being, that He should change His mind? Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill?